Hello, you're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport Campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
Thank you, worship team. I've been listening to that song all week. It's an awesome song. So, my name is Andy Lobb. I'm the executive pastor here at Island Christian Church. And you probably know, if you know me, I haven't been up here that often. I'm rarely up here, actually. And usually when I'm up here, I'm talking about money. But you can hold on to your wallets this time. I'm not talking about money. So we have an interesting message I heard from a few weeks ago. I heard a message from Stephen Furtick. It was a really good message. And I just wanted to share a lot of that with you today. So the name of the message is I Know How This Story Ends. And let's take a moment and bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, I just pray now that as we go through your word, Lord, that you would bless this time. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the verse I want to share with you today is 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistines and killed him, and there was no sword in the hand of David. Oh, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. In the first service, I had everybody do this. Switching gears, okay? You go back. How many people here are on Facebook? Okay. How many have it on their phone right now? Okay. So I want you to take it out, okay? And when you go into the app, there's a button that you can check in. Okay, so you can press that little button up on the top right corner of Facebook and check in and say that you were here today, okay, because this is 2019, so we can do this. And so if you're not embarrassed to be here, you can say, Pastor Andy preached his best message of the year today. You can say he preached the worst message of the year, too, his worst message of the year, but you'd be right on both accounts. So, anyway, take the time to do that. If you don't do that now, you can do it after the service, then you can give a full report. Anyway, thank you for that. So back to 1 Samuel 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. So, do you like to know how a story ends before you hear the story? Do you like to know the ending? Some people don't ever want to, no, you'll ruin it for me. But other people love to know the ending of the story. Well, I love to know the end of the story before it happens. Because it brings comfort. Okay, one of the things I like to do, I'm a big sports fan, and sometimes I can't see the baseball game or the football game when I want to. And so I'll record it. It's very easy to do these days, right? So I'll just record it, figure I'll watch it later. So, but when I do that, you know, some people say, oh, don't tell me what happened. I'm like, no. I look and see what happened. Because for a couple of reasons. I mean, first of all, do I want to watch this game if my team lost? Probably not. Okay? And also, I want to know when the good parts are, too. So I want to know how it ends before it ever happens, okay? And so we're all like this, too. And I learned this a long time ago when I had a VCR and a kid, okay? Now, VCR, I know I'm dating myself here. We don't use those anymore. I don't know where any of mine are anymore. But it was great for recording things. When we first got it, you go out and go to the movie store and rent movies, right? And they sell them, too. And I would always be like, why would anybody ever buy them? You know, why don't you just rent them? And then I had a kid. And I found out why you buy them. Right? You only have to buy one. And you'll watch it over and over and over again, right? So, you know, I probably watched Frosty Returns for 17,000 times. Okay? It's a great movie, but, you know, it's a little bit too much. But anyway, we love to know how things end. They even did studies on this, and they said that we get a lot more enjoyment in knowing how a story ends. So anyway, a few years back, my wife and two of my kids took a weekend ski trip, went up to Vermont with friends. And so they were coming back Sunday afternoon. And about the time they were supposed to get home, I get a phone call. And I answer the phone, it's my wife, and she goes, "Everyone's okay." Okay? Now what does that do? That sets all kinds of things off, right? But the one thing it does is it told you the end of the story. Okay? So as crazy as it was, at least you know the end of the story, that everybody's okay. Now, it was a little crazy because they were getting off an exit ramp from one highway to another highway, and they slid off the road. It was a snowstorm. The car flipped over a couple times, and they ended up in a ditch. There was some glass and stuff. They didn't have their shoes on. The kids didn't. They were able to get out. Somebody came right away. Somebody saw it happen. They were there right away. An ambulance was going by the other way because of another accident that happened down the road, because there were accidents all over the place. And within 2 minutes, they're in the ambulance and on the way to the hospital. They get to the hospital, they get checked out, and everything's okay. Just a few scrapes, a few bruises. Everybody's okay. Friends that were with them, their car slid off the road a little bit too, but it didn't flip or anything. Nothing happened to theirs. They were able to get back on the road. They all hopped in their car, came home, and everybody was okay. The van was not okay. I never saw it again. I was okay, right? The insurance took care of it. I was like, I never went up there to see it. I didn't. It was a few hours away. So that's how I found out how the story ended. But it could have ended a whole lot different, right? They just missed a tree. It might not have ended up right side up. Somebody could have gotten thrown from the car. Somebody could have ended up injured or even dead from that accident. So it could have ended a whole lot different. So let me switch over to the story of David and Goliath. Now, you all know the story of David and Goliath, right? Everybody's heard. Even if you know nothing about the Bible, you know David and Goliath. Everybody's heard of this story. So, and it's an archetype, right? It's a story that people just use, and it's a standard that people use to make other stories. They constantly copy the David and Goliath story. So, I would say that you know the story, but there's probably a lot of details that you don't know about the story. Okay? So first of all, David was really a young man when this happened. He was only 17 years old. Okay? Now, if you have a 17-year-old, okay, the first thing he was supposed to do in this story, as the story goes, his father asked him to take bread and cheese to his brothers who were off at the war. Okay? Now, can you imagine, 17-year-old kid, dad wakes him up on a Saturday morning, "Hey, you got to go take this stuff to your brothers." "Dad, come on, do I need to do this? Can't you get somebody else to deliver this? Can't they get DoorDash or something to take this to them? You know, can't there be another way? Dad, I'm going to be a king. Do I need to do this?" This was chapter 17. In chapter 16, Samuel had anointed David that he would be the next king. So he knows he's going to be the next king. Is this really what a king has to do? He has to bring bread and cheese to his brothers? You know, come on, Dad. But David wasn't like that, right? But if he had been like that, this story would be a whole lot different, wouldn't it? We might not even have the David and Goliath story if he hadn't been a faithful man. So David goes down to see his brothers, and his brothers are there kind of waiting for him or whatever, but just as he gets there, Goliath comes out. Now, if David hadn't done gotten up and gone. He hadn't been there on time. He might have missed this completely. Okay? Now, he was faithful in some very ordinary things. Okay? And sometimes opportunity comes from the ordinary. Okay? For some of you, this could be the whole message. Okay? Opportunity just comes out of the ordinary. If you have kids, you know that you can't just give them one lecture and expect that everything's going to be okay with them the rest of their life, right? You know that it's time after time after time. It's word after word after word to them. And you're building into their life slowly, slowly. It's a constant thing. If you come to church on Sundays and just come for an hour and listen to a message and never do anything with it, what's going to happen? Nothing's going to happen in your life. You have to be faithful in ordinary things. You should be in the Word every day. You should be praying every day, seeking the Lord. Your problems aren't going to go away by just showing up here an hour and listening to a message and singing a few songs and then going home. You have to be living it your entire life. So David was faithful in ordinary things. And because of that, this whole story continued, okay? So what happened next? David goes down to the valley, and Samson comes out. So Samson had been coming out and challenging the Israelites for 40 days, okay? Every day, this big, huge guy, 9 feet tall, he would come out, challenge the Israelites to send their best man and fight him, okay? And they didn't have anybody that wanted to do it. Saul, the king, was trying to get people to go fight him, and nobody wanted to do it. So he kept offering them benefits to do it, you know? You know, it's like when you're on a flight and they want you to hop off the flight, right? They keep upping the ante a little bit. So Saul kept upping the ante a little bit to get somebody to take the bait here and fight this guy. And, you know, he was up to offering his daughter in marriage, the pretty one, and taxes, no taxes for life. Okay, so he offered that, and these guys had just heard this for 40 days, though, and nobody was moving. Nobody was moving at all. Well, David comes down, and he starts hearing this, and he asks one guy about it, and he tells him, yeah, this is what's going on, and he's asking another guy and another guy and another guy. His brother, Eliab gets upset at him and goes, what's your motive here? And it starts getting on him and stuff like that. And, you know, David could have turned to fight with his brother, because we know how brothers are easily fight against each other, right? They're ready to go at a moment's notice usually. Family knows how to flip your switch a little bit easier than anybody else, right? And you know, it could have taken up offense and not even got into the battle with Goliath. You know, so many times this happens to us, right? The real battle is coming, but another battle, another thing gets in our way, a fence gets in our way that stops us from getting to the real battle. We get waylaid by something else. We just get stuck up and we can't get past this, and we never get to the real battle. It's so easy. Satan seems to put this in our way all the time to stop us from getting to the real battle. Well, you know, I want to do what David did. David just turned from his brother, didn't even engage with him. He said a few words and then he was off. So David, you know, it could have ended a whole lot differently if he fought with his brother, right? That might not have happened. But he didn't. So now he goes to King Saul. Well, Saul sees this little kid, basically, and he goes, you can't fight this guy. What are you, crazy? You're young. You're just a kid. You can't be taking on this giant. And David goes, what does he say? He talks about how, you know, I fought against bears and I fought against lions and I beat them. And I can go against a giant who's going against the armies of the Lord and beat him. And so Saul finally, after him talking to him, finally acquiesced, okay? But what if Saul hadn't let him fight, right? This could have ended a whole lot different from what it did before. So Saul finally acquiesced and let him fight this battle. So what do? They try and load him up with all of Saul's armor, right? He puts on all of Saul's armor. It's impossible. It's huge on him. Saul's a big guy too. It weighs him down too much. He can't do it. So what happens from there? He goes, no, I don't need this. I can go and fight the battle without this. And he takes five stones, right? The Bible says he takes five smooth stones, puts them in his pouch, and he brings his slingshot with him. So he takes his slingshot. He goes to the valley to fight Goliath, and Goliath immediately starts basically laughing. They go, wait, this is the guy? He doesn't have anything. How's he gonna fight me? And he's just kind of mocking him that he's gonna stand against him. And David said, I'm here to fight in honor of the Lord, basically, and I'm here to take you on. What does he do? One stone, right? He doesn't even need the rest. Throws one stone, hits him, Goliath goes down. Okay? So now going through this whole thing, David, now we have the opportunity to read this, right? Verse 17:50. So David prevailed over the Philistine. David does not have 1 Samuel 17:50. Okay? We know how the story ends. David does not know how the story ends. Right? He surprises us. But David needs something to finish Goliath off. Okay? Now, what does he need? It says it right there in the verse. What's he missing? He doesn't have a sword. Right. So David didn't bring a sword with him. But he needed a sword. Right? So in 1751, he says, then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Okay? So a lot of people think that the story ended when he threw the stone. He didn't really kill him when he hit him with the stone. He needed a sword. Okay? Sometimes when you're going against your biggest battles, you need something else. And God is going to provide it. Amen. Through your enemy. Okay, he provided the enemy. The sword that came to kill David was a sword that David used to kill the enemy. So God can use that in your life. David was able to cut off his head. What a savage move, right? Just chopped off his head. And why did he do that? This was a trophy, right? And they could celebrate. The Israelites chased after the Philistines, chased them far away. They took off, killed some of them, the ones that got away. They came back and they got all their camp and they plundered all their camp and they had all this stuff. So what happens with this? He takes the head of Goliath, he takes it to Saul, and the sword, they take that and they bring the sword to the temple. And the temple, the sword is stored at the temple. Now, you think this is the end of the story, but it's really not the end of the story. Okay? Because we have many Goliaths to beat in our lives. We don't just have one. Okay? And David was the same. He had another big battle coming that was right in his own home, basically, right? Saul, who was the king, later on was trying to kill David. And this went on for a long time. Well, one of the times, as Pastor Steve talked last week about David was running from Saul, and he had no weapons. He was on his own. He was running from him, had no weapons. And what happened? He went to the temple And he said, I need a weapon. And they said, we have nothing here. The only thing we have is the sword from Goliath. And so David took the sword of Goliath and he took it with him. And he was able to protect himself from Saul because he had this sword. So not only had the Lord provided it the first time against Goliath, but the second time he also provided the sword. So the Lord can bring more protection to us than we even know. And so many times, you know, we look at this David and Goliath and the end of the story. David understood, you know, we look at this and say, David, Goliath, David's a little guy, Goliath's huge. How can this be a fair fight, right? And we always talk about those, you know, the Olympic hockey team in the 1980 at the Olympics, you know, they always talked about that as being a David and Goliath story, that it was this huge champion and just these little kids playing against each other and the little kids won. But David didn't look at it like that. David didn't look at himself as being the little guy against the big guy because he had God behind him. Okay? And that's what we have too. You know, it's not the end of your story. It's not the end of your story when, you know, to where you are right now. You may have a difficult time right now. You may have a sickness that's bothering you. You might have an addiction. You might be addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography. You might have a bad marriage. That's not the end of your story. You might be a single mom. You might have anxiety. That's not the end of your story. God has more for you. And God's not finished with your story yet. So we do know the end of the full story, though, right? Because in the Bible, we know what Revelation says, right? We know what happened in the New Testament. We know that Jesus died, that he rose again. We know from Revelation that he's coming again. So we do know the end of that story. And because we know that story and who wrote that story, we know that our story isn't over. You can overcome what you have to overcome with the help of God by following Jesus. Well, I want to ask the worship team to come back. Sing that song again. I want to just share that, put that second verse up on the screen. And I just want to take a look at that real quick. And there's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giants because I know how this story ends. So worship team, go ahead. Let's hear that song. Let's pray. Sing that song again.
Let's stand together as we sing this out.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down from any giants. I know how this story ends. Oh yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory.
take what the enemy meant for evil.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Yes, come on, sing it out.
Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the
glad that you could be here today. If you want to pray with anybody, we have people up at the front you can pray with. If you want to know more about knowing the Lord as your Savior, come forward. We'll be glad to talk to you about that too. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your many blessings, your love for us. And Lord, we seek after you. Lord, we just pray that you would be there with each person in their battles, Lord. Lift them up. Lord, we pray that your blessing would be on them as they seek your face. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Have a great day.